You'd think that one part of the globe immune to the financial crisis would be the oil-rich Persian Gulf. And for a little while, that was true. But with the money crunch and slowing economies around the world has come a big drop in the price of oil, from a high of $147 a barrel at midsummer to around $80 today. And suddenly, those rich Gulf states don't seem so rich anymore. The world's Aaron Schachter reports. You'd think that one part of the globe immune to the financial crisis would be the oil-rich Persian Gulf. And for a little while, that was true. But with the money crunch and slowing economies around the world has come a big drop in the price of oil, from a high of $147 a barrel at midsummer to around $80 today. And suddenly, those rich Gulf states don't seem so rich anymore. The world's Aaron Schachter reports.
It was perhaps inevitable that after thinking you could ride out the financial tsunami, that the Middle East was finally hit. Stocks in high-flying Dubai shed nearly a quarter of their value this week. Saudi Arabia's market, the largest in the Arab world, lost more than 17%. In all, the region's seven stock markets by yesterday had lost more than $160 billion. It had Dubai stockbroker Fahad Abu Mohammed calling for divine intervention.
As you can see, the situation is very tragic. All the shares are below minimum limits. God help those who put all their money in the market. We hope that the concerned parties will intervene quickly to put a stop to this decline and save what's left.
It's the weekend today in the Gulf, and Mr. Mohammed can rest a bit easier. But the main question is why it took so long for the U.S. credit crisis to hit the Middle East.
Why did it take so long to hit the Middle East? I think the answer is that it hasn't taken so long.
Richard Thompson is editor of MEAD, the Middle East Economic Digest.
For the past year, we have been following quite closely the rising cost of debt to borrowers in the Middle East, particularly people financing projects. So the credit crunch has been affecting the Middle East for some time, but not in the obvious way that it has been affecting the banking sector in the West.
Real estate and other development projects worth some $1.3 trillion are in danger of being delayed or stalling entirely. Tellingly, in the United Arab Emirates, the market value of firms in the banking and real estate sectors has dropped about 40%. The problems could get worse. Many of the sovereign wealth funds, which Gulf states use to invest a good chunk of their oil revenue, haven't yet reported on their balance sheets. The crisis could also devastate the Middle East in other ways. Countries like Syria and Lebanon are highly dependent on remittances from expatriates. Others, like Egypt, are kept afloat with foreign aid. And the flow of that money will most likely slow down in the coming months or years. But there is at least one analyst here who sees a silver lining. Rami Khoury directs the Issam Faris Institute at the American University, Beirut.
The opportunity is to rethink economic and political development policies in a more rational, more productive, more regionally integrated way that can generate wealth from within the Arab world, give us some kind of protection from the global shocks that we're seeing now, and really enhance our economic sovereignty and not to make us as a region so vulnerable.
Many in the West might not have a huge amount of sympathy for the Middle East's vulnerability. After all, it's hard to think of any region that's not found itself vulnerable to the world financial crisis. For The World, I'm Aaron Schachter in Beirut.